No, I just want to take a minute this morning. Most of you guys probably know us by now. Maybe some people that don't quite know us. And we just, my wife, Allie, would you come up here? We just want to solidify that we are finally here. I know if you've spoken with us, and we've kind of been in transition for the last 3 months when the Lord really spoke to our hearts about coming and being with you guys and just continuing to till the ground here and build the kingdom. It was about 3 months ago, so in January sometime, and our kids were in school in Lafayette, and so we've been in transition for like 3 months now with driving in on the weekend, yeah, from March until the end of May. And so it's been a heck of a time sometimes, because we would drive in for the weekend and be with you guys, and it's been exciting to us because we've just been anticipating what God's going to do and what we're going to get to be a part of here with you guys in building the kingdom. But we just want to let you guys know from our mouths that we are here, we're moved in, we're not back and forth. So, yeah. So, and thank y'all for that. So, just want to let you know, man, we are just beside ourselves when we really have a chance to set our minds and think about it, about what God's going to do, especially in our student ministry and what he's already breathing into our hearts. And we spend time with him in prayer, and the Lord has just begun to pour in ideas and vision about that ministry. And we went yesterday to HOMA. If you've ever heard of House of Hope, it's a community outreach center that different churches bring volunteers for. But we brought a great group of our students yesterday. Why don't y'all give them a hand for that? We went and served food. Yeah. So we took a great group and we went and served food to some homeless people that were there, and those that were in need that were able to come in and eat with us there. And it was just a good time for us to, number one, serve, but to serve together. And so as their leader, to be able to spend time with them and just kind of grow together that way. But we're excited about what God's going to do with our students. We're looking forward to summer camp. That's a big deal for us. So be in prayer, guys. Partner with us in prayer for what God's going to do on our summer camps. And we're still meeting on Sunday nights with the students at 5 o'clock. So if you're a student and you're in here and you haven't been to student ministries, if you're 12 to 18, is that our ages? 12 to 18, please come. 5 o'clock. God's been doing some great things in building relationships. And we're going to continue to build the group, and as they begin to reach their peers as well. So we're excited about that. So we just want to let you guys know from us, we're here and we're excited. So we're looking forward to meeting each one of you guys as we get time to do that and chance. So. That's the key.
Thank you for that, Trey. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? You know, we fight a real enemy. He knows your weaknesses. He loves to hold them against you. Your past, your mistakes, your anger, bitterness, shame, whatever it is, you may think that it's all in your mind, but our enemy works against our mind, and he whispers lies to us. When he speaks his native language, he speaks a lie. And the Bible says he is the father of lies. Some of us can deal with if the enemy is lying, but sometimes we can't deal with the truth of where we've come from, you know, the reality of our life sometimes is hard, right? Life gets tough. Sometimes we feel like that the change that we struggle for is unattainable. And you feel hopeless when you feel like something is unattainable. I'm never going to get there. It's not something that I think I'm going to be able to do, because I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I keep failing, or I've prayed for this person, or I've wanted this to change and it just doesn't change. And today, during worship and a couple of services, I've heard that word, unattainable. And I want to encourage someone that even when it feels unattainable, even when you feel like I'm never going to get there, my finances can't change, my marriage can't change, my children can't change, God is not raising an unattainable standard before us. It's not him that we can't reach. He does reach out to us, and we are able. Here's how Paul said it. He said, not that I have already obtained. He said, but here's what I do. I put the past behind me, and I stretch toward the mark, toward the prize that God has called me to. He's talking about being in a race like a runner that would stretch toward the goal or the prize. And I guess this is what I want to tell you this morning is just keep stretching toward the goal. Keep running the race, even though it feels unattainable, even though you haven't obtained and you've made mistakes and you have failed. And some of that we've got to reap where we sow, but God gives grace. Isn't that awesome? So don't be discouraged by the unattainable. How many of you are going to go on a trip this summer, just somewhere in the state maybe or somewhere? Okay, I started something when I was a youth pastor, and it's no big deal. I'm just going to throw it out there at you. But if you think it's cool, maybe you could pick up a refrigerator magnet from wherever you visit and bring it back to Pastor Keith. But listen, get the flat ones. Go in a convenience store where you don't pay much. Don't get the ones with all the springy stuff coming off of it, because I'm going to have a refrigerator full of them. So today I got Helen, Georgia. How many of you ever been to Helen, Georgia? Yeah, that's a cool little town up in North Georgia. So anyway, bring me back a refrigerator magnet, okay? All right. So we're still in the series on Proverbs. We are in the summer of Proverbs. And we've talked about what Proverbs was written for. It was written so that we would have wisdom, understanding, and discernment. Probably in a nutshell, that would say it. And we talked about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to apply it. And in the Hebrew mindset, there was no difference from that. If you had wisdom, that meant you were applying. If you gained knowledge, that meant you were using wisdom to apply what you know. How many of you have ever done something that you knew better than to do it? My hand is up. Yeah. We know better and we know things, but we don't always have the wisdom to apply what we know. So Proverbs helps us in knowing how to apply. And today, as we continue in the series, we're going to talk about guardrails. It's funny, I've thought how many times for one reason or another that I have mentioned the WPA road in my messages. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's just a little road right here in Bayou Gosh that cuts through and goes to Des Almonds and comes out on Highway 90. And the WPA road does not have hardly any shoulders on it. In other words, if you run off of that road, you're in trouble, right? I mean, if you overcorrect or something, it's going to be bad news. When I first moved here, Corbin was ready to get his driver's license, and he was learning how to drive. Now, it's different learning how to drive now than it was when I was a kid. And I mean, like, for one thing, you have to pay for it. You have to send your kid. I was like, man, this really, that kind of hurts an old country boy, you know, to have to pay for a $400 class, you know, to get a learner's permit when we were driving when we were 11 or 12 years old, literally. You know, my brother wrecked my daddy's truck on a dirt road. It wasn't a bad wreck, but he was 12 years old coming home from Little League practice. True story. In a 1969 step-side Chevrolet, three on the column where you shift on the column. Yeah, that was it. So, but we were in a farming community. It wouldn't be unusual to see an 11 or 12-year-old boy or girl driving a big bean truck. And you know, if there ever was a police officer come through that part and you didn't get thrown under the jail for it, right? Nobody was going to sue you or anything like that. But now, obviously, it's not the case. So we get here with Corbin. We put it, that was all. That has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. It's just cultural history. But so I had to get Corbin a license and teach him how to drive. And I found myself worrying a little bit, just parental worry, you know, not sinful anxiousness, but just about him driving down WPA Road. I was like, I told him, man, you be careful. Now, I'll drive down it doing 110, but I don't want him doing that, right? Big, long straightaway. Because there are no guardrails there. And guardrails are up to keep us from running off in ditches. There are guardrails on big steep canyon highways so that if you come off a curve, that guardrail will keep you from going down into a ravine. And in spiritual life, God gives us guardrails to keep us from running our lives into a ditch. And there have been times when I have jumped guardrails. There have been times when I have went around guardrails. And there's always a price to pay. So Solomon, in this chapter that we're going to look at today, he is teaching us how to have guardrails in our life. And he's talking to his son. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, my son. Now, I want to reiterate again that a lot of Solomon's teachings, he's talking to his son. That's an intimate relationship. I mean, how many of you have something now that you've lived to be, you know, like me, and you're in your mid-30s, late-30s, and you've lived long enough that you could set your children down and tell them something now, right? Don't you wish your kids would listen to you, really? I mean, we could help them out so much. And that's what Solomon's doing. He's saying, listen, my son, I have some things to tell you, and this is going to help you in life. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So Solomon's starting out, and he says, listen, my son, don't forget. And that Hebrew word forget can literally mean resist. Don't resist the commands and the wisdom I'm about to give you. If you're a parent, you understand that. You know that kids can, especially when you get teenagers, when you get 13, 14, 15, and we all know this, kids should move out of the house when they're 15. They should go get a job because they know everything. And so just go ahead and move out while you know everything, because when you hit your mid-20s, you're going to realize you don't know anything anymore. But no. So we resist a lot of times. We resist the wisdom that God is giving us. I know that I was like a teenager of the 80s, you know, and about my senior year, I think I always liked clothes, but my senior year and a couple of years after I graduated, I probably was a little bit fashion forward, especially for a country boy. How many of you know if you were fashion forward in the 80s? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had me some Z Cavariches. How many of you know what Z Cavariches are? Oh, yeah. Man, they were kind of flat right here and flared. They were like pirate breeches, you know. And I had some slouch boots. I don't know if you know what slouch boots are. That's where this part's like all slouched down. And my Z Cavariches were tucked into my slouch boots. Acid-washed denim shirt. Yeah. Found me a full-length leather trench coat. I mean, I had it going on. Perm back here, down to about right here. Short on the sides. Oh, I do. Somewhere. So I would get ready, and I would come downstairs, and if my dad said, are you going out looking like that? I was like, yeah, this is exactly. Because I was resisting anything that he had to say about how I was dressed. Now, if I would have come downstairs and my dad said, well, you look nice tonight, I'd be like, I'm going to change. So we resist so many times what a father would want to say to a son. But he says, now listen, my son, don't resist what I'm telling you. Don't forget. Understand these precepts, my commands, they will give you a peace in your life. And you will have peace and you will prosper. The first guardrail I want us to look at is the guardrail of peace. He says, don't forget this. Don't resist this. Here's what I want you to have in your life. I want you to have peace. Now, probably one of the most opposite things of peace in our life is worry, anxiety, and fear, right? So he, the wisest man that ever lived, probably Solomon being the wisest man that ever lived, he's wise enough to know, son, listen, you are going to need peace in your life. because anxiety and worry and fear will kill you. And how many of you know it can literally make you sick? You can worry yourself sick. It's scientific. That's not just a spiritual fact. It's a scientific fact. You know, there's something called the fight or flight syndrome that we have in us. It's a fight or flight response, I mean. And God has made us, even back when we were a little more primitive, you know, if we had to face a bear, you know, he put it within us, do I fight the bear or do I run from the bear? And adrenaline starts flowing and gives me what I need if I'm going to fight. For me, my adrenaline is always going to say to run from the bear. And really, not so much run from the bear. I'm just hoping I have somebody else with me, and all I have to do is outrun them. Right? But there's this, God put it in us that our body literally releases these hormones and this adrenaline. And when we stay in a constant state of stress or fear or worry, our body is releasing that into our system, and we don't need it because we're not fighting a bear. We're not running from a bear. And so it affects our health, literally. Solomon said, whether Solomon understood that or not, he did have wisdom from God to say, listen, son, you are going to need to live in peace in your life. And as a matter of fact, I've learned this, and I bet you have too. There's really not anything more important than that. At 51, I would say, I don't think there's anything more important than me laying my head down at night with peace. I used to think it was having more money, a bigger house, better cars, trucks, toys, whatever it is. But I can tell you, nothing is more valuable than peace. And peace is a guardrail in my life that gives me health. He says, look, you're going to have a long life if you have peace. You are going to have a prosperous, healthy life because you have a peaceful heart. So listen, son, do what I'm telling you. Have you ever been to the doctor? And he said, well, have you been doing what I told you? I see you haven't lost any weight. He's looking at your chart, you know. Have you been exercising? I told you, you need to exercise. Have you been eating right? I've asked you to eat right. Have you been resting? I've told you. When a doctor tells us, he's telling us for our good. He's like, listen, we can take care of this blood pressure or the sugar. There's some things that we can take care of if you just take care of yourself. And this is what Solomon is saying, and this is what God is saying to us this morning. He's saying, listen, my son, I'm telling you something that will help you. You can have peace. To have peace with me is a guardrail in your life. It will give you health and prosperity and a long life. The next guardrail I want you to see is the guardrail of kindness and truth. And in verse 3, it says love and faithfulness. I've used kindness and truth from another translation. Those words are interchangeable as far as the way the Hebrew is interpreted. There's a guardrail of kindness and truth in our life, or love and faithfulness. I had to go to the bank this week, and I have to go to Harahan to go to the nearest regions, the nearest regions that I want to go to. There is one in La Place also, but God has opened up the heavens and done something in Harahan that I like to call Five Guys. And I splurged. I should not have done it, but man, when I'm in Harahan, I don't know if it's my flesh, if it's the devil, if it's this eating syndrome, you know, thing that I have. But anyway, I splurged this past week, and I went to Five Guys, and I'm pulling in a parking space, and there's cars, you know, in front of me parked, like two rows of cars, and the space beside me is empty, and I notice there's a kid in front of that space parked, you know, facing me. He's getting in his truck. He'd just been in the pizza place right beside Five Guys. I know this because he was carrying a pizza box. And so I'm not really paying much attention to him. I'm taking my time, and I notice these kind of things normally. So my door's open for a little while. I'm standing in that space. And when I look up, he's just like shaking his head. He's shaking his head and looking at me like as if to say, you idiot. Now, being the man of God that I am, I thought, here's what I thought. I'm not the idiot. You're the idiot, kid. You're waiting to pull through a space, which is illegal. You need to be backing up and getting on your way. And then I saw hamburger, and I was done. You know, I just walked on by. But really, he was just shaking his, and he pulled on through and, you know, just giving me the stink eye, you know. People can be so unkind, can't they? There's not a lot of kindness out there. This world, and can I tell you, and I've told the millennials this, and because they've heard it more than we have, more than any other generation, I think the millennials have heard that man is basically good. That people are basically good. And you know, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are all born in sin, and we're not basically good. We are born sinful, and we need a Savior. And the reason there's no kindness out there, and you don't deal with truth, and people are untruthful, is because we live in a sin-cursed world. That's why, and I hear, why do these bad things happen? Why do people do this? Why does that happen? And I know this is very simple, but this isn't heaven. But here's a guardrail for us to live in. We can be kind and truthful with one another. Some people don't have a problem being truthful, but they have a problem being truthful and loving. you hear what I'm saying? Kindness is a guardrail. Faithfulness, truthfulness is a guardrail in our life. And Solomon is saying, son, you can avoid anger and frustration, and you can avoid so much just by being kind. And we know this, when we plant kindness and truthfulness, we reap kindness and truthfulness. The next guardrail I want you to see is the guardrail of favor. Solomon says, now listen, son, when you hold on to kindness and truth, when you hold on to love and faithfulness, you will have favor with both God and man. Don't you love favor? I mean, favor is when God blesses you beyond your education, beyond your talents, beyond your background, and because you are his child, he shows you favor. I'm from a little bitty town called Brat, Florida. I know. How can a guy like me be from a place called Brat, right? B-R-A-T-T. It's right up in the corner of the panhandle of Florida, northwest Florida, right on the Alabama line. And Brat has a caution light. That was it. Now they've turned it into a stoplight, but when I was a kid, it was a caution light where two roads intersected. That we weren't a town. Maybe we could be called a community. I mean, there's no subdivision. At least in Bayou Gosh, we got a subdivision, right? No subdivisions out there, just farms and houses and, you know, mobile homes and stuff like that. But anyway, somebody was asking me about this middle office. They were saying it was outdated and maybe. You know, it's our workstation office. Maybe we should update it. I said, oh, no, it's decorated an early American mobile home. That's all. we've got it like we want it. We like orange shag. Don't worry about it. But I'm from a small town. And, you know, a lot of times you think, well, maybe there's not much potential there. And I had to move back as an adult. I mean, I love my home, but I didn't want to move back for the reason I moved back. I moved back because I was going through a divorce and trying to take care of kids, trying to do what I needed to do. And my oldest daughter didn't want to stay in Brat. She would sit under a tree in our yard under a big pecan tree and read, and she would look at what she called the Brat skyscrapers, and that was grain bins. She could look out across an open field and see these big, tall grain bins, and we called them Brat skyscrapers. And I said, you know what, baby? You can go stand under that caution light in Brat, Florida, and you can leave from right there and take one step and be on your way to go anywhere in the world. And so when she graduated high school, she did just that. I took her to Pensacola Airport. She got on an airplane, flew into New York City, got on trains and subways, took herself into the city, found her place, her apartment in Herald Towers on Herald Square in Midtown Manhattan, and began to attend school in King's College, which is housed in the Empire State Building. Her daddy was making, I'm just going to tell you, less than $30,000 I made that year, raising four kids. But the favor of God put her in Manhattan going to school in the King's College in the Empire State Building. Isn't favor amazing? Favor will do for you. Well, Pastor Keith, is it always like that? Favor can come in so many ways. And the wisest man that ever lived said, listen, son, you are going to need favor with God and man. And here's how you get favor with God and man. You live in love and faithfulness. You live in kindness and truth. And God will do things in your life that go beyond who you are, beyond your talents, beyond your education. But you just be faithful and true. That has to do with obedience. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more, but can I just tell you, obedience matters. When we disobey these commands, now remember, this is a father talking to a son. I don't know about you, but when you grew up, but when I grew up, there was trouble if you disobeyed mom or dad, okay? Now, I'm just going to tell you, I have a problem with the way we parent sometimes because we don't give our children any consequences for their actions. I mean, there were consequences. If an adult said something to me and I said, yeah, there was consequences. What was that consequences? What'd you say, boy? Yes, sir, I mean. Or I mean, yes, ma'am. There were consequences. Now, I'm not saying that kept me from doing anything wrong. I mean, I learned how to hide whatever I was doing wrong. See, because the true motivation for doing right is going to be a relationship with God and loving Him. But there were consequences when I didn't obey mom and dad. There were consequences if I backtalked. There were consequences if I didn't get a job for the summer. There were consequences if I was told to clean up my room or not clean up my room. There were consequences if I was told to cut the grass and I didn't cut. I need to talk to my children. I can see that right now. I am messing up with them. But you know what? There are consequences with God, and it's not that He's wanting to punish us. He is showing us and giving us these guardrails that He wants us to have favor, and obedience brings favor into our life. Obedience brings favor into our life. That's why obedience matters. It's not that God's angry at you, and if you disobey, He's going to take you behind the woodshed and whip you. What matters is He wants to give you favor, and He wants to bless you. And when you are when we are disobedient, we're jumping the guardrails. Whew, I've done that. We are jumping the guardrails, and we're getting off out there in that ditch, and we have removed ourselves from the path of favor. And God is saying, listen, get back in the guardrails so I can bless you. Get back, come on, come here, let me help you. And it's not about us doing, all right? Listen to me, are you listening? You'll never be able to do enough to get God's favor. You can't pray enough, you can't read your Bible enough, you can't come to church enough, you can't do enough good acts. Here's what He's saying, be who I have called you to be. Be faithful, be kind, be loving. And guess what happens? When we are being that, then we do things that reflect that. Does that make sense? That's why when we sin, you need to stop saying, well, that's just who I really am. That must be the real me. You know what we need to start saying? Just like what Paul said. I have sin, there's a sin man in me, but when I do that, that's not really me. That's not the real me. That's my sin man. But the real me is the one who wants to stay in these guardrails and have God's favor. And I want to do the best, my best that I can to be the real me. We all fail at that. Hey, guys, I fail at that miserably sometimes. But I want to come back and I want to get in these guardrails of favor. Another guardrail is trust. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, son. Here's some good advice for you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust. It's not easy. It's one thing to trust. It's another thing to trust with all your heart. That phrase, all your heart, in Hebrews literally means to throw yourself fully upon. Just completely give yourself to God. Trust in Him and completely give yourself to God. I don't know about you, but it's hard to put my trust in God when I can't see the answer. When I'm dealing with my children, especially grown children and children at home, and I'm seeing them in a situation that I want to change for them so bad, or you get that phone call and it's like, oh no, baby boy or baby girl, they have made a bad choice, and now God, please help them in this, or something has happened, and I worry or I have fear, and I can't just trust God. You lay awake at night, and this could happen with your finances. It could happen in a relationship where I have to fix it, or something has to happen. And really what I'm saying is, God, I don't trust you. I've got to lay awake at night and worry about my finances or my business. I've got to lay awake at night and worry about my children or my wife or my husband, because that's how I think I'm going to change something, I guess. I don't know. Are y'all listening to me? I guess it proves that I really care when I carry this anxiety. And here's what Solomon is saying, his son. Listen, trust the Lord with all of your heart and don't carry any of that. Just give it to him. I had a friend that told me one time about my children when some of them were going through some really hard things, and it just, it's hard. I don't know where that hits in your life, but it's really hard. And for me, anytime my kids do something wrong or something bad happens, I just feel like it's my fault. I'm a perfectionist, and I just think, if you had done a better job, you know, you should have taught them better. You should have. Does that make sense to you? You can't be a good enough parent. We all make mistakes. But guess what? They're old enough to make up their own minds, too. The best thing I can do for them is say, I'm sorry. I did fail. But there's a God who's perfect. There's a Heavenly Father who is perfect. And if you turn to Him, He'll make up everything that I left missing for you. And I've really told them that. And then I've had to learn, you know what? God, I'm going to trust you with them. In the middle of this pain, in the middle of what they're doing, I got to learn to trust you. I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to trust you with my retirement, with my business, with my future, with my relationship, with my future husband, with my future wife. I am going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart, and I'm not going to lean into my understanding. How many of you have ever been on crutches? Man, or a cane or something. Sometimes in life we need crutches. Or we need something to lean on. We need something to support us. The older I get, I have these aches and pains. Y'all don't know anything about this, but sometimes, young people, when you get old, your hip will start hurting. And so then you kind of walk funny and compensate for the hip, and then your next day, if your right hip was hurting, the next day your left knee's hurting because you were leaning on your left knee trying to compensate. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? So even with crutches or a cane, even sometimes the thing that you're trying to lean on, after a while, it starts hurting you. And here's the wisdom of Solomon. He's saying, if you continually lean on your own understanding, it is going to do nothing but hurt you. It is going to be a prop that sooner or later will not hold the weight of what you're going through. You are not going to be able to figure it out. You're in your mind. And here's what Paul tells us in the New Testament. He says, your understanding is not going to bring peace. You are not going to have the peace. So you're going to have to trust me and lean not into your own understanding. Then he says, this next guardrail is, he says, submit to me in all of your ways. Acknowledge me, one version says. Submit to me in all of your ways. Acknowledge that's who I am. And at some times, when I'm trusting God, that's all I can do. I can just submit. I can say, God, okay, I acknowledge you today. I don't feel it. I really need to forgive somebody. I really need to forgive myself. I want to come out of shame. I don't know that if I'm going to be able to quit taking the drugs. I don't know that I'm going to be able to quit drinking. I don't know that I'm going to be able to be alone for a while like you've called me to be alone. I don't know if I can save my marriage. I don't know. But here's what I can do today. I just acknowledge you. I just submit to you in all my ways. Here's why. I'm not leaning in my own understanding. I'm trusting you with all my heart. Now I'm acknowledging you, and here's what he says he'll do. He says he'll direct our path. That's what he'll do for us. Now, right in the middle of all this wisdom that God's given us, that God's given us and that Solomon has given his son, have you ever been in a conversation with your dad or with your grandpa, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, right? You need a seatbelt on. They take such a sharp turn on you. I mean, I do that preaching sometimes, right? They're like, whoa, where's he going? That was a sharp turn. Well, here's Solomon given all this wisdom, and he says, now listen, son, I'm going to give you something else that's important. I'm teaching you about peace. I'm teaching you about trust and submission, how to stay on a straight path, how to have favor with God and man, but you also need to understand the guardrail of giving. If you don't want your finances to go off in the ditch, if you don't want your finances to wind up down in a canyon, if you don't want all of your money going to he who bears the interest, yeah, Proverbs talks about that. Talks about exorbitant interest that's of the devil. Amen, Financial Peace University people. Ooh, it's about to get quiet up in here. I'm going to just read it from the Bible. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. He says, now again, listen, son, I'm going to give you some good advice for your life. I care about you. I'm not trying to constrain you. I'm not trying to hold you back. I'm not trying to limit you. I'm trying to open up the horizon to you. So here's what I want you to do. Honor the Lord with your wealth. When you make some money, when you get some wealth, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of your paychecks. Pastor, it doesn't say paychecks, it says crops. Go back to that verse 9. The first fruits of all of your crops. Everybody say crops. How many of you, does anybody in here raise crops for a living? Okay, so you're clear. You don't have to do it, right? No. Well, back then, everybody had crops. You know what that was? Here's what he's saying. When you get that check from the plant, when you get that check from the school, when you get that check from your business, when you get that check when you win the lottery, come on. Take something right. Don't wait. Bring the first fruit of that. Take a percentage of that and bring it and honor the Lord with your wealth, son. I'm just teaching you this, son. I'm the wisest man that ever lived. I'm the richest man that ever lived. And here's what secret I'm going to give you. Honor the Lord with your wealth. He says, then, here's what's going to happen. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Now, there's a lot of preachers in the past. You know how they do this. That means you don't have to drive a Camry. You can drive a Cadillac. That means you don't have to live in a mobile home. You can live in a mansion. All you have to do is honor God with your, write your check out. Here's how you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. And if you would just give your money to me, I mean to the church, then God will bless. No, that's not what this is about, okay? That is not, but here's what the word says. When you honor God with your wealth, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. What does that mean? If something's overflowing, that means I have enough to give. This is what it's all about. God wants you to handle your finances in such a way that you have enough to give to somebody else. That's what it is. Overflowing, your vats will brim over with new wine. What this is saying is when you honor God with your finances, you'll have more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. Wouldn't it be nice to have more than enough? Yeah. Well, when we honor God with our finances, then if you're doing that and you say, well, it's not working, then come to Financial Peace University. There's something else you're missing there. There's something else that we haven't learned yet, because Solomon is saying, my son, this stuff works. All right, I want to tell you real quick about the guardrail of desire. As he's going on and he's giving this advice, and this is God. If you could just think about sitting down with the Heavenly Father and he looks at you and says, my son, Nick, or my daughter, Sarita, listen to me. My daughter, Terry. Oh, my son, Terry, I'm sorry. My daughter, Melissa. Listen, I have something I want to help you. That's intimate, right? That's what God's doing right here. He's saying, I want you to understand how favor works. I want you to understand trusting me. I want you to understand peace. Is any of this negative? There's not one bit of this where he sits down and goes, now I'm angry with you, and I'm about, you better, no, I'm going to help you, he says. Then here's what he does, and this is God speaking to us, and this is Solomon speaking to his son in Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Everybody say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Understanding.
Understanding.
All right. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. Here's a great investment. Here's where you can get a return off of wisdom and understanding. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all of her paths are peace. We're talking about wisdom. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. He says, listen, son, I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to give you some understanding. This is better than anything else you desire. Your desire is a guardrail, the guardrail of desire. This is what manages my desire? How do I have this guardrail? First of all, desire what I've been talking about, son. Trust, obedience, wisdom, understanding, the guardrail of desire. I'm not going to desire riches. That's not going to satisfy you. Desire more friends, desire more power, desire. It's not going to satisfy. Here's what you can do. Just like people run after riches and gold and silver, if you will run after wisdom and obedience and trust and understanding, then you're going to be satisfied. You're going to live a long life. You're going to have a prosperous life, and you're going to do well. Listen, as Trey comes, guardrails make our paths straight. It's the guardrails that keep us. Doesn't mean we're not going to run off the road sometimes. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make some really bad decisions sometimes. But God is saying, listen, if you will obey me and if you will look at the guardrails that I'm laying down, I'll make your path straight. What does that mean, Pastor? What does it mean that a straight path? It means we're not wandering around in confusion. It means I don't live in confusion. I don't live in fear. I don't live without purpose. I'm living on this straight path that God has laid down for me. Jesus said, listen, this path is a narrow path. He said there's a wide path that leads to destruction, but there's a narrow path that leads to life. I don't know about you, but growing up in church, the way it was taught to me was that narrow path means it's a really hard path. That narrow path means, boy, you better not mess up. You don't have any room to mess up. The guardrails are right here, right? Does that sound like the teachings of Jesus, though? You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, there's only one way. It's like the sheep have to go in through the gate. This path is narrow because it's focused and it's purposeful. If you want to live a focused and purposeful life, then come on and get on this narrow path, because there's a lot of different ways you can go on the wide path and a lot of different ways you can destroy yourself. But this narrow path is a path of life. And it's narrow because I am putting guardrails for your protection. It's not narrow because it's hard. It's narrow because it's focused and purposeful. And to be honest, because of our flesh sometimes, that is hard for us. It's not so much hard to keep the rules. It's hard for us to understand that God has a purpose and a focus for our life. Would you stand with me? Guardrails keep us out of the ditches, out of the wrecks of life. And maybe you're here this morning and you realize that you've been going around some guardrails. At railroad tracks, guardrails come down, and you see some very foolish people try to go around those, trying to make up a little time. You can YouTube, and it's hard to watch some of it. People just getting splattered by a train because they didn't want to fool with the guardrails. And maybe that's happened in your life. Maybe you just went around some guardrails, hopped over them, whatever it is. Maybe it's in your finances, maybe in relationships. Just, you got away from really trusting God. You're not living in the peace that he has for you. You're looking at other people and pointing at them and worried about what they're doing, and they're not going to be there when you face God. One day when we stand before God as judge, no one's going to be there but Jesus. Doesn't matter what anybody else has done or said or did to you. At that point, you need Jesus. So whatever's making you avoid the guardrails today, maybe it's time just to recommit to the guardrails of God, of his wisdom, of his understanding, of his commands. If you would just bow your heads, close your eyes, nobody's looking around. Maybe it's peace that you need. Maybe it's trust, obedience, whatever it is. You say, Pastor Keith, I need to get back in the guardrails. I need to get back in the guardrails, back on the path of purpose and focus. And I want to ask God to help me to do that. If that's you, When I count to three, if you just slip up your hand, I want to pray for you. Get ready. One, two, three. Just slip them up. Yes, thank you. Thank you, yes. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. Lord, we all fail. We all make decisions that we regret, and we face consequences that we regret. But your grace is sufficient, and your mercy is available. So today, we just ask for mercy. We ask for forgiveness. God, I pray for those that, and I pray with them, and I commit with them, that we need guardrails, Lord. We accept the guardrail of peace in our life. We cannot change it through fear or worry. God, we want to put our trust with our full heart in you. Help us, God, to stop going around your guardrails. Help us. Lord, for the one who has done that, and now they feel like it's too late. I've done it so many times, it's too late. And I'm going to, God, I thank you that it's never too late. With you, it's never too late. Let someone hear you whisper that to them, that they are not disqualified from your grace and your mercy. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If the prayer team would come, I'm going to dismiss you. What are you going to do today? I bet you're not going to cut grass. It's too wet, right? Well, I cut mine this week. It looks like I went mudding in my yard. Left tire tracks. Just if you turn with a zero turn when it's wet like that down here, it's crazy. I've lived all over the South, and everybody thinks the South is different, but I'm telling you, here, grass holds water longer than any place I've ever seen. Right? So I got out there and cut my grass, and I got in the little ditch in the easement behind my house, and I mean, that thing, mud everywhere. I was stuck. Then, guys, then it wasn't about cutting grass. It was, can I get this lawnmower out without getting off? So I was working it. I did finally have to get off and turn it. But anyway, it was kind of fun. I cut grass and went muddy. So I'm going to bless you in a moment. I'm going to bless you to get your grass cut this week. Guys, maybe you can use your weed eater if the lawnmower doesn't work right. Pastor Keith, why are you talking like that? After we were talking spiritual and serious, and now you're talking about cutting grass and getting mud all over you. Listen, because this is real. This is real. This isn't being spiritual. You're spiritual when you leave here. So this stuff works out there. It works. You can stay in the guardrails. You can trust God. You can have peace. You can come back from your last failure. You can do it. After I dismiss you, the prayer team is here to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, if something's going on in your finances or relationships, anything, they want to agree with you. Maybe you need to pray for somebody else. Maybe you're thinking, I've done that before. I've done that too many times. Yeah, I'm the same way. My kids come to me and, you know, I just cut them off. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to show you any more love and mercy. Right? Right? Aren't all of us parents like that? No, we're not. I mean, I may cut you off from giving you some money or something, but I'm never going to cut you off from my love and my mercy. And you know what the Bible says? If we being evil old people know how to love our children, how much more does God know how to give us good gifts and love us? So don't give up on coming. He's not tired of you coming to him. So if you need prayer today, let someone pray for you. Let it make a difference in your life. May God bless you and keep you this week. May he keep his hand upon you and keep you from evil and pain. I know we're going a little long, but can I just tell you all kind of stuff's going on in our church? We have somebody that's on a waiting list that needs a new liver. We have somebody who's only getting 45% of their kidneys function. We have people fighting cancer. We have people who's burying one nephew and another one's being married at the same time. We have people who are just dealing with heart issues. At the same time, we got people that's being blessed, and they're in a good season. We're all in different seasons, right? So when I say, may God keep you from pain, pain comes into our life, but may you have the mercy and grace and peace of God right in the middle of it. And may he keep you from causing pain. May he open doors this week that no man can close. Right? Yeah. How many of you are going to look for an open door this week? Look for an open door. You know what? You usually find what you look for. Find what you look for. So this week, look for the goodness of God. Put your hope in him. I bless you. May God bless you. We love you. If you need prayer, please come and get prayer.